Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker Betting Show. This is your second Aintree preview, day two of the Grand National Festival. I'm your host, George Ellick. As I was yesterday for day one, I'm joined by Odds Checker's very own tipster, Andy Holding. I'm delighted to be joined by Cam Smith aficionado, Ed Quigley. I asked Andy yesterday in day one preview who's going to win the Masters. So it's only fair that I give you right of reply, Ed, who is going to wear the green jacket.
Bit of a delays in there, but I'm Cam Smith and Spieth each way versus the field. That's been my my long-term ploy, and Thigala for the hipster money. So that's my kind of three big bullets. But Cam Smith, bonkers price now. Four top tens in the last 6 years, two top fives. Had a dodgy breakfast in his Miami hotel, 24 hours in bed, and he's twice the price. That'll do for me. Always back the wounded soldier, or whatever the phrase is, I can't think of right now.
not in great endorsement for that hotel, whatever it was.
Yeah, you kept that quiet.
You think someone on Liv would be able to afford a decent hotel these days.
I know.
I don't disagree with that. I've been backing Justin Thomas this morning. He was out to 80 to 1 on the exchange. Madness. How is that opening to the show going to age? We'll have to wait and see. Andy, some of your selections yesterday have aged very well indeed. For those who were eagle-eared and listened to yesterday's preview, they would have snaffled some 10-1 around Sombru, who is now 5-1 favourite at time of recording at about quarter to midday. Obviously, by 4:40, we'll see how that has aged as well. But this is your day two preview. I'm going to be talking through the grids on the Odds Checker site and the Odds Checker app. Make sure you download those, so you can get the best prices, bookie offers, free bets, place terms, and Andy's tips straight to the app every single morning of racing. Or in major festivals like these, you also get them sent over in the night before. Going to start with the 145, the Novice Chase, where a couple of Cheltenham Festival heroes of this year go head-to-head. I know the way you're thinking is 11-4 favourite, ahead of Chianti Classico at 7-2. Cheltenham hero from last year, Iroko, is 4-1, Hartwood 6-1, Broadway Boy 8-1, and Giovinco is 10-1. Ed, given that you've returned to the fold for this time, I'll give you first run in the opener.
Yeah, tricky one, George. Great little race, though, isn't it? We're off moaning about small fields again, but you can make a case for every single runner. Incredibly competitive. Official ratings, if you take Gavin Cromwell's runner out of it, I think there's, £5 separating the other five horses. There's not a lot in this on figures. No strong view on it, to be honest with you, although Giovinco at double figures as the outsider of the field does make a bit of appeal at the price. I wonder if in hindsight they'd... I know there was a lot of... Peter Scudamore alluded to it, a lot of split opinion in the camp with Giovinco pre-Cheltenham. I get a feeling they were thinking some were split on the turners, some were split on whether he should have gone for the brown advisory, and those arguments about whether he could have gone for the Ultima. I wonder if in hindsight the latter would have been the best call, because I think he's run an absolute stormer as a 40-50-1 poke in the brown advisory, beating 5.5 lengths by Factor File, where if you imagine him in the Ultima off 1.46, I think he would have gone very close, or at least would have given Chianti Classico some sort of race there on those figures, wouldn't he? So I think this more of a relative speed test. I know it's deep ground here, but it's very similar ground to what he raced on at Cheltenham. But an easy 3-1 at Aintree, as opposed to the 3 miles plus with a big hill and deep ground at Cheltenham, I think it's more his bag. Obviously, he's a distance winner from earlier in the season in one of those farcical races where I think loads of fences were missed out due to low sun, etc. But the fact remains, he loves soft ground. He's course distance winner. He's the outsider of the field. And as I said, on ratings, doesn't have all that much to find. So, it's a price-governed race as opposed to... I think all six can win it, basically. But if you give me double figures on Giovinco, I would have a small play on that, because I just think this is much more his cup of tea, 3 miles round Aintree.
Yeah, 10-1 Giovinco, Bet365, 888 Sport, the two firms that are double figure prices now. Both those, a quarter of the two, the six declared. Wouldn't be a massive shock to see one or two firms go three places tomorrow, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Andy?
Yeah, I've probably got a slightly stronger view than Ed has got here. I think the Turners race in general, they used to call it the JLT, has had a fairly strong bearing on this race. I think Chantry House ran in it. hadn't come here and won. Lost in translation, I think, was second to Defi de Soy. So it's a race that's very much gathering a lot of momentum with regards future form. The time figure for the Turners, as I talked about on the day one preview, was excellent. The second best time that we got the whole meeting beyond Galopin de Champ. You'd like to think that Grey Dawn and Ginny's Destiny in another 2 hours will frank that form one way, shape or form. So that leads me on to Iroko, who ran on the same day that I Know the Way You're Thinking did, who won the Kim Muir. A little bit of a difficult comparison here because one was over 2.5 miles and then one was over 2.3 miles. So the 2.3 miles race, the Kim Muir, was obviously going to be slower. It usually is. But there was just a complete and utter gulf in class. They were just operating in an unbelievably high standard compared to, you know, the handicaps on the card. And Iroko was one of those that decided to be held up towards the back end of the field. It ended up being tactics that were just in no way overcomeable. So I thought he ran really well, Iroko, given that he'd gone there in a slightly unfashionable, with a slightly unfashionable preparation as well, I mean, having the one run, means he's going to come here a slightly fresher horse than most. I think that'll actually play into his strengths. We know that he handles Aintree. He was third to Appleaway over hurdles last season. So I just like his chances here. Based on the numbers that we got at Cheltenham, I think he's equally good, if not better, than I Know Your Way You're Thinking. And I'm just, like I say, I'm hoping that Turner's form stands the test. So he'll do for me at 4-1. I think he should be favourite, really, Iroko on balance.
Iroko should be favourite there, Andy Shout. 4-1, that is with Bet Victor. Coral, Live Score Bet, Ladbrokes and Midnight. So yeah, Iroko and Jivinko, the two selections for Andy and Ed in the first. On to the handicap hurdle now, over 2.5 miles, where Katira is the 7-1 favourite ahead of Making Headway at 8-1. In the Waterside, 10-1. Theatre Man is 11-1 after falling at Cheltenham. Seems to be kind of been downgraded for that fall. 12-1, Champagne Twist. A Castle de Mott is 12-1. Django Bay, 12-1. 16-1. Bar those. And we've got 22 here. Skyback going 7 places, a couple of other firms going 6. Who's the value at this stage?
I think, again, another standout piece of value with a little bit of an asterisk at the back of it, and that's Django Bay. And the reason I say that is because we need at least a day to work out whether Nicky Henderson's horses are back on track. I've opposed, you know, the short ones on the first day, you know, you see the Genos of this world, just thinking they were poor value more than anything else. But at the same time, if they go on and win, then it enhances the credentials of horses like Django Bay throughout the rest of the week. But just forgetting about stable form and just concentrate on what Django Bay's done in comparison to some of these, I'm at a loss why he's 12-1, because as far as I could see, he is a graded horse. I don't think he's quite grade one class. I know he's won a grade one, and that sounds kind of contradictory, but I don't think it was the strongest grade one that's ever been run, in all fairness. The one that he won, he kind of nicked it. Favour and Fortune, you know, all that kind of jazz in Cannock Park, Making Headway. Nice horses, but they're not grade one horses, really. He should have beaten Handstands at Huntingdon. It was a poor ride by James Bowen. I think that's universally accepted, and things just didn't quite pan out for him either at Kelso. And I thought he should have been Personal Ambition as well. He kind of went all the way around the wrong part of the track, and the winner got first run, but he was staying on very strong. He's now 2.5 miler. He's a real strong stayer. We know he handles Aintree's bad ground because it was horrible that day back in December. So yeah, I mean, look at his profile. He's off a mark of 139 here, and I don't think there's that many horses in this race better handicapped than him. So, yeah, Django Bay would be the one for me.
Django Bay, 12-1 with 365, and Paddy's, who are both 7 places, Skybet with the 7 places, are 8-1. Ed, how do you see this?
Yeah, Django Bay be my next best in here, actually, as you say. It's just that 139 jumping off the page in terms of, there's a lot of, how should I say this before I get libel lawyers on me? There's a lot of horses who have either not had their day, but you know where you are with them, aren't you, essentially? There's no massive lurkers in here springing off the page thinking, crikey, they could have a stone in hand or something. Whereas Django Bay, if he can run to 150 any time in the next 6 months, it's not going to kind of blow your socks off with surprise, is it? But he is only the next best, because I still think horse number one on your cards, Springwell Bay, is perfect for this. Jonjo O'Neill, see him interviewed earlier in the week, said I can't remember the exact word for word, but to paraphrase, he made a mess of things regarding Cheltenham. He was entered in the Coral Cup and the Pertemps. They thought, well, the ground had dried up for the Pertemps, so didn't declare him in the Coral Cup. It ended up raining again. Then he was a non-runner for the Pertemps. All in all, it was just an absolute horlick. So they've entered him in the 2.5 mile and the 3 miler here, and they decided not to gamble on any sorts of weather and whether things will dry up or not. And they're running him in the 2.5 miler on soft ground. He's such a strong traveller. I know he's bred to get 5 miles, but he's such a strong traveller. I think 2.5 will suit him. Strongly run 2.5 miles. You know, it was a flat 3 miles. It must have been the last time out on soft ground. He was touched off a neck. The form of that race has worked out well, because obviously the horse that beat him, Curly Fingers, gone on to win again since. And I think some of his form is stacking up pretty nicely. He won on very deep ground at Cheltenham's November meeting over a similar trip to this. And as I said, they then stepped him up to 3 on the New Year meeting. And he just didn't quite get home on that deep ground. I said, he's a horse, I think, if you look at his pedigree book, everything about him is kind of screaming Blackjack Ketchum Part 2, will be must go to 3 miles. He hasn't quite clicked over 3 yet. And then look, he ran really well here last year in the Grade 1, where he was a bit wet behind the ears. He was thrown in the deep end. And he ran a really good race. You look back at the form of that race, that Grade 1, you know, had Hermes Allen, Irish Point ahead of him. Let's be clear about it. He was placed in the Dream More. He was ahead of Crambo. I think Blow Your Wad was in behind him as well. It was really strong form, and he was actually travelling pretty well until I think it was Dark Raven foul hampered him, and then he made a bad error. He wasn't beaten a million miles into 6 on that occasion. I just still think there's a lot of unfinished business here. Come back to my original point, George, in terms of there's quite a few exposed individuals in here. Yes, there are a few progressive sorts, but I'm convinced we are yet to scratch the surface with Springwell Bay. And I think 2.5 on soft ground is ideal for him. So I've got a Django Bay and Springwell Bay versus the field, if you like, both each way. Well, that's what I'll be doing. But my on top selection would be Jonjo O'Neill's runner.
All about the bays. Yes. Shame Sangmoon Bay. I don't think got the invite to Augusta this year. Springwell Bay is 16-1 with Coral and Ladbrokes, and yeah, Django Bay also a positive mention there from Ed in the 220. Onto the top novices hurdle now of the extended 2 miles, where Mystical Power is the 2-1 favourite ahead of Firefox at 130. Dysar Enos, who came out at Cheltenham, is 5-1. Mr. Giff, 10-1. Golden Ace, despite that Cheltenham Festival success, still a double-figure price at 12-1. Lump Sum, 14-1. Look Away, 16-1. And Personal Ambition, 25-1. 8 runners here, Andy. Nice looking each way shape to the race. Are you looking for an each way player, or are you looking at one of those at the top of the market?
I would have gone with Slade Steele if he had run. I would have fancied him to uphold the form with Mystical Power, but you've got to obviously respect Mystical Power, what he did that day. He travelled like a good horse, and I think the sharper track will definitely suit him. That was my worry about him going into Cheltenham, whether he'd see it out up the hill on testing ground. And although he answered the arguments to, in the affirmative, I still think a flatter track will suit him. So, whichever way you strip it down, he's the right favourite. Firefox has got a little bit to find, but you know it's possible. Different day, different track, different conditions. You know, we've seen horses turn form around for no explicable reason from Cheltenham to Aintree just because of their constitution. But I do think Dysart Enos is definitely the bet here at 5-1, providing all 8 runners stay in. No real reason why they wouldn't. The connections know what the ground is, and there's no other targets really. But unfortunately, she had to miss Cheltenham, didn't she? She had that last minute scare. I can't remember what it was now, but
lame on the morning.
But she's had plenty of time to recover from that, presuming everything's gone well. Fergal wouldn't run her, would he, if there was an element of doubt. She's unbeaten over hurdles. I don't think she's actually done anything spectacular over hurdles yet, beaten a lot. But, you know, her time figures have not been too bad. They've almost been time trials, to be perfectly honest. She comes out second on our numbers on that Cheltenham run when she beat the Bat. She beat the Bat very easily. And more importantly, she's the only course winner in the field. She won the bumper last year, the Mayor's bumper. So she's got a bit of previous around this track. I think if you're being absolutely honest with yourself, and I'd like to be and like to sort of...
You always are, Andy.
Always put a caveat in there for people that want to back a horse like this, would be genuine heavy ground. But the forecast is more favourable from sort of today onwards into Friday. So I think actually Friday might end up being arguably the better part of the 3 days, maybe. So yeah, I think 5-1 for Dysart Enos is not a bad bet.
5-1 standout with William Hill, currently 9-2, pretty much market price there for Dysart Enos. Ed, do you agree, or have you got another section for us?
I'd be with the market leader. I don't have a strong view in this. I'm looking for a kind of a Rick or a difference opinion to the market, but it's kind of priced up as I'd expect it. Dysart Enos, just the ground, it just gets me a little bit worried because she's such a smooth mover. She could probably get away with it to an extended entry. Obviously, she gets her allowances, and I can easily see where Andy's coming from there. She'll travel into this race as well as anything. And the good point we should have touched upon at the top of the show is, I was going through some of the bonkers results we've had at this meeting. You just, for want of a better phrase, a lot of horses are trained for Cheltenham, and it's how much is left in the petrol tank. And that often is the case. It sounds almost layman's terms, but I remember, masterminding being done at 1-5, and I was going through the whole host of crazy results have happened here just because it's a case of one run too many for the season. So Dysart Enos missing Cheltenham could have been a blessing in disguise, but I just doubt she's got the raw class of mystical power. I think is the right favourite. I thought travelled and jumped. Mystical Power's jumping was we did the Cheltenham preview show, didn't we, in Chelsea, and Mystical Power was what we were talking about in terms of jumping was a little bit sketchy, but I thought on the whole at Cheltenham, Mystical Power really upped the game in the jumping stakes, travelled nicely, hit the front, looked a bit of a speed horse, and then got outstayed in the slowest ground this century by Slade Steel. I think Aitree's test probably more to this horse's favour, so... providing he hasn't gone to the well too often, which I don't think he should have done. This is just his third race in 5 months. I'd want to be with Mystical Power. But yeah, do respect Dysart Enos, but I'm usually trying to get the favourites turned over. But just to be hypocritical, I'm going to weigh in with one here. I just think Mystical Power is probably the best horse and can confirm that here.
Short shot, Ted, with 2-1 Mystical Power here. Again, standout price of William Hill, market price kind of 15-8, 7-4 for the most part. So two there, Mystical Power and Dysart Enos for the two guys. I let you at home decide who made the better case. On to the 3:30 now for the Melling Chase, over 2.5 miles. John Bond, one of these Nicky Henderson horses that missed the Cheltenham Festival, having been turned over back in January at Cheltenham, is the 5-2 favourite ahead of the Ryanair winner, Protector at 3-1. Pick Doherty, 100-30. Envoy Allen is 11-2. Conflated, 10-1. Easy Game, 16-1. And Manella Drama, 70-1. Really interesting this, Ed, isn't it? Like, so yeah. Tough to wrap your head around, because you look at it on paper and you think, you know, is John Bond a bit of a gift at 5-2, given the proven quality, but of course doubts around Nicky Henderson and Protectorat so impressive at the festival. Where do you come down?
Yeah, and you'd have to have a slight doubt. John Bond, 2.5 miles on softer, heavy ground as well. Yeah, I mean, he has been a little bit keen in the past, and if he's coming in here fresh might work against him if he's totally lit up and 50,000 people on track getting really buzzed up, which he has done before in the prelims. I wouldn't say he's not nailed on to see out a strongly run racing here on testing ground. For all that, he's got a lot of class. In a way, it's almost a bit of a crossroads for him, because if he gets turned over here, that kind of rules out for next season in mind, the going up in trip angle starts to become a problem. So then they're going to say, well, do they stick to the 2 mile route? And obviously, he fluffed his lines back on trials day. So all in all, I think there's enough in here to get John Bond. Pick Doherty won the race last year. He's the fresh horse who swerved Cheltenham, obviously. But I'm going to just side with the horse who did run it Cheltenham, but loves it here, loves soft ground, and that is Protectorat, who ran an absolute stormer, was clearly much happier when winning the Ryanair Chase, just down in trip where he could just use his inverted commas speed to greater effect than rather than have it drawn out over the Gold Cup trip. And he's 2 from 3 at Aintree. The Skeletons are flying. Say he loves soft ground. I mean, if they were to meet in a handicap, he'd be getting £3 from John Bond. I wouldn't have an argument in terms of what they've actually proven. Should it be the other way around? I think this is much more protectorat's bag, soft ground 2.5. I like John Bond. He's clearly a horse with a lot of ability. But as you say, there's the Henderson form, there's the trip, there's the ground. He's had one run in 3 months where he was turned over at 1-4. There's enough question marks about it for a 9-4 poke for me. So, yep, protectorat, Dan Skelton chasing the trainer's title. This would help fill the coffers in that aim, I should say. So, yeah, protectorat for me, I think it's fair cop.
Protectorat 3-1, Hills 888, Spread X and Sporting Index. Andy?
Yeah, I think the sort of key crux to this race really revolves around John Bond, doesn't it? And you get a day to have a look how the Nicky Henderson battalions are going. Obviously, we've talked about Tajino, we've got Shiskin, Marie's Rock, Lucio, and then obviously John Gabay. So you've got five opportunities to weigh up where you stand with the yard and whether to back John Bond at his current price. You know, if two or three of those horses win, then obviously confidence gets catapulted and vice versa. But I'd have a slight reservations about him as well on the ground, in all fairness, over 2.5. I think that's another caveat as well. So I'd agree with Ed with Protectorat. He was a good winner for McCollum at Cheltenham. He's obviously not going to be any of those fancy prices tomorrow. But yeah, he's got a fantastic record, as Ed's already pointed out, for around Aintree. 2.5 is obviously his trip now. He has won over further, but it tends to stretch him nowadays. His jumping is immaculate. And that's one of the great things about Protectorat. He saves ground in the air, doesn't waste any energy. And this race should be teed up quite nicely for him, because Manila Drama and Pick Dory like to go off in front, just as he did at Cheltenham. I think Harry Skelton will have a target on the back of Harry Cobden, just sitting behind. And you know, when it comes for a test from that long run from the second last down to the last, I think Protectorat might just have too much for them here. So, yeah, I think 3-1 is not a bad shout for Protectorat, even more so if the Henderson horses aren't telling us to back John Bond.
And we'll find out shortly about how Nicky's horses do run. I mean, at the time of recording, there's been, I'd say the drift on Tajino is probably a little bit alarming for those who've kind of backed Nicky's horses in advance. Fine for favouritism at the moment with Car JC. And then looking at the 4.05, we've got the Topham. Bill Baxter is the 5-1 favourite. Shake 'em Up Harry, 7-1. Your Darling, an old friend of Ed's, is 17-2. Life in the Park, 10-1. Sorry, James de Burleigh, 10-1. Arizona Cardinal, 12-1. Amy Deji is 16-1. Candy Kid, 16-1. 20-1 bar those. And Ed, I've got a feeling you want to talk about Your Darling.
Absolutely. Still my darling, still my friend. And my selection for this, yeah, this has been the target all season. He's an absolute enigma, this horse, in the sense of, as Ben's alluded to, I mean, look at his form figures of 4-1-5-P-9-1. He's a very hard horse to get to right. However, when he's fresh, he's absolute mustard. He's only really kind of let the party down once with the fresh angle, and that was when he disappointed the Galway Festival last year. By all accounts, he got worked up on the ferry and had a bad journey over, and it was kind of, they were like there and they let him take his chance, but everything just kind of went west, really. His overall record when coming in fresh is absolutely fantastic. He's not a horse you can back up his runs. He just can. And that's why he hasn't been seen since last November. But again, just to re-emphasise the fresh point, he won first time out for his career. His record off 100 or days more off the track after that reads 3-1-1-1. The aforementioned flop at Galway, and then another one where he came out after that Galway flop. He came out at Ascot in November and won by half the track, beating Phlegmatic, who's come out and franked the form no end since. He's a very, very good horse when he's right. They say he's arriving into here off the back of a, 140-day layoff. So he's fresh. He's well, he's a wonderful jumper. He really is. Absolutely pings round. Ben Poulding team on fire. There was one slight reservation. It would be, if I could choose ideally, I'd want a bit better ground. But he did win his Newbury bumper in an absolute swamp. And actually, I spoke to Barry Geraghty He actually rode the runner-up in that bumper that day. It was right at the back end of Barry Geraghty's career, and he said he couldn't believe how well Your Darlings went past him. Barry, I can't remember the horse Barry was on, but Barry was going up and down on the spot, and Your Darling just sluiced through the mud. Mm. So he said, well, he clearly handled the ground that day at Newbury. So look, that'd be my only reservation, but he's been laid out for this. He's ticking every box for me off 137 as much as you can in an 88 runner Topham. But I like his chances here, and it's amazing really when you look back at it, thinking how much he thumped Phlegmatic earlier in the season, and he's kind of still getting weight from him on this occasion. Yeah, each way for me. I don't know how many places we're going down to here, George, but I'm struggling to get him out the frame.
That's my job to let you know. Your Darling, best price 17-2. That's with William Hill and Spreadex and Sporting Index, and they are all a 5th to 6. Or you can take 8-1 and get a 5th-7 places with Skybet. So Your Darling, the one for as ever, Ed. Andy, how do you see this?
Yeah, that was a nap of the day, wasn't it? That Ed was going to flag up Your Darling. Yeah, he's been on my shortlist for a little while. But I'd probably have more concerns about the ground than Ed would. He's trying to make a case that he obviously won a bumper on heavy ground early on in his career. But all his runs when he has come back fresh have been on good ground. And Ben has gone on record to say even the days when he's handled good to soft, he said he doesn't want that ground. Mm. He's definitely not going to want soft heavy in places, and it will be very testing. So I'd be a little bit reluctant to put him up because of those circumstances, but I get the first time out fresh angle. I think, you know, they've learned through from their mistakes in the past that that's the way to prepare Young Darling for him to be at his best. I'd probably just concentrate on the race at the festival, the old Malmö Fleet. Can't remember what it's called now. The Plate, is it, or something
plate,
like that?
Yeah, the Plate.
Yeah, I've watched that race several times over, and there was a very eye-catching horse and an unlucky horse in it. And there was a horse that raced prominently and paid for racing prominently. The horse that was very, very unlucky not to win it was Life in the Park. There was a couple of fallers at the one at the top of the hill, and they fell directly in the path of Henry de Bromhead's horse. He didn't lose like huge amounts of ground, i.e. probably about 5-6 lengths, something like that. But it was the momentum. He had to get going again. He must have been 12th, 13th, 14th coming down the hill. He's ended up running on very, very strongly up the hill. Nothing was hitting the line better. I think he would have won had that incident not occurred. So I think he's a definite player with Rachel Blackmore on for Henry de Bromhead. And the other one is Ferrero Bamboo from Venetia Williams Sable. He's been a little bit more industrious this season. But by and large, he's run his race pretty much every time. He ran really well here early on in the season. I think it was the Grand Sefton. I forget all the names now, but I think it was the Grand Sefton. Beyond Jeskill, the Ilford to Jeskill, and that ground was bottomless that day. It's what it's going to be tomorrow. But it's going to be very tiring, tacky ground. And, you know, I thought he ran perfectly respectably in the aforementioned play. As I said, he was prominent all the way through then. The ones that came through were just slightly off the speed, you know, in that sort of like next echelon. So I think he's got a really nice profile here. So those two will do for me. We got round about 12-1 Life in the Park and 20s for Bamboo.
We have got 10-1 Life in the Park with Coral, Ferro Bamboo, 20-1 exactly. Ferro Bamboo, that 20-1 is with Paddy's, Betfair, BetVictor, Coral. Life in the Park 10-1 is with Coral and Ladbrokes. Andy's two there against the field in the Topham. We've got the Sefton now, over an extended 3 miles, and the Jukebox Man, who came so close to the festival. Seven. What's happened there?
Nothing. Just the Jukebox Man irks me. That was the
okay.
Yeah.
can't hear his name without.
Is it that old Cam Smith has just another dodgy prawn sandwich?
Jukebox Man,
125 win only. Sorry, 125 win only. I was on the Jukebox Man at the festival. That was a lie down moment. That was a lie down. Anyway, enough about me, Karen. Sorry.
Well, I'm going to come back to you in a second, so you can. You have to relive it again. Jukebox Man and Reed and Tommy Wrong, both 7-2 joint favourites. Dancing City is 4-1. Shanna Bob, 9-2. Croke Park, 8-1. Kintara, 11-1. Sherry Dam, 16-1. 40-1 bar those. 9 runners here. We'll let Ed, catch his breath, Andy, and we'll come to you first here for the Sefton.
Yeah, it's a race where sort of ratings and a degree of logic tends to go out the window here. Hoisinger won it 66-1. Apple Away won it last year. A lot of the big guns in inverted commas, the ones with Cheltenham form in the likes of the Albert Bartlett, and even when they're stepping up in trip from the Gallaghers. It's like I say, we get some funny results here. I'm prepared to really cast my net a little bit further wide than you'd normally expect here with Kintara from the Mel Riley Stable. Now, this horse is one of the lowest rated horses in the race, but I do think the Per Temps final that he ran in last time out was quite a good renewal this year. The time figures were comparative, actually slightly better than the Stays Hurdle won by Tiupu. And I thought he put a real brave display that day. Real dogged performance. Picked up the run in two out. He was always prominent. And he's just got his pocket picked by Monreal in the latter stages. So on his day, as he showed at Cheltenham, he's still a top-class horse. Mm. He absolutely adores heavy ground. The softer, the better for this fella. And the one thing he's got in his favour that the others haven't is, of course, some distance win. He's the only C&D winner in the field. So I think he's going to be underestimated because he's from a small stable and he comes from the handicap route, so to speak. So I think he'll certainly shake up one or two of those ahead of him in the market. The Jukebox Man is the obvious one, really. He's got a prominent race style. He was unlucky not to win at Cheltenham, arguably. And I think he's probably the best horse of those that will come out of Cheltenham. I know Ed will probably go with him. I certainly wouldn't put him off. But Kintara is a nice each-way alternative for those that want to look for a bigger price.
Yeah, Kintara 11-1 best price with 888 Sport, 10-1 pretty much across the board elsewhere. You're shaking your head still, Ed. But let's go there. Are you dipping your toe back in the water, or are you scarred for life?
No, I'm gonna leave this race alone, to be honest with you. I just thought that the bigger, more interesting talking point is reading Tommy wrong. So it was obviously backed into the Albert Bartlett as if defeat, I would say out of the question, but I think went off 2-1 favourite for the Albert Bartlett. Now, immediately, having watched after watching the first replay of the race, my initial thoughts were just total non-stayer, trying 3 miles of deep ground for the first time. Interested this in the Willie Mullins insight and Paul Towns saying that they knew the horse was beaten a mile from home. The trip had nothing to do with it. It just was not right on the day. He was far too keyed. He got fidgety, he got edgy. And it clearly, I mean, it was just too bad to be true, wasn't it? As you say, you're coming to three out and he's legless. So the fact they're trying 3 miles again, to me, kind of backs up that sentiment where I thought, you know, naturally he would have been coming back down in trip. So, I mean, do we forgive him after one run? I mean, his form is pretty solid, isn't it? You know, absolutely wiped the floor with Lecky Watson, the likes of Firefox, et cetera, at the time. For Il Al Antique was far from disgraced behind Ballyburn. So his form's all stacking up. And I don't know whether to be the forgiving type here and go in with reading Tommy wrong. All in all, it's a race that's got me a little bit confused. Shanna Bob is the fresh angle. But for me, I'm not sure whether Aintree would really suit him. He's almost too slow for this. I remember when he won at Cheltenham earlier in the season, Nico had to really wind him up the Cheltenham Hill. You know, he's not a kind of horse who's going to do anything in a hurry. I just wonder, even on slow ground, whether he'd get a little bit tap for toe in the early stages of the race here and leave himself too much to do. So a bit of a race where I'm kind of going around the roundabout and coming back to where I started. So, yeah, one I'm going to sit out. But the fact that having another go with reading Tommy wrong, the body of work reading Tommy wrong had done prior to the Albert Bartlett reads very, very well. Do you forgive that one run or not? If you can get a forgiving enough price, I might be tempted by reading Tommy wrong. But as things stand, I'll probably sit it out.
Probably going to sit it out there for Ed. Doesn't want to revisit. I can imagine he'll have another lie down if and when the Jukebox Man goes and hoses up. On to the lucky last now, the handicap hurdle, the amateur riders here, and we have Maiden Street Prince and Go Dante, the 11-2 joint favourites, with Brucio 9-1, Skycutter, Densworth both 10-1, 12-1 Eagles Reign, Affadil 12-1 as well, 14-1 Picar and Bailey. 16-1 bar those. Ed, are you sitting this one out as well? Have you got a selection for us?
No, I am sitting this one out here. I thought there were 6 or 7 you can make a case for, so I'm not going to make a case for 6 or 7 yet. But in words of Duncan Bannatyne, I'm out.
Andy, in or out?
I think nothing. The most intriguing horse in the race is definitely this Maiden Street Prince, who Ed might sort of have a thought or two on, because he was upsides and going just as well as Sir Gerhard when he tipped up at the second last at Cork last time out. Whether you take that form literally or not, I don't know. But I know, obviously, Ed fancied Sir Gerhard at Cheltenham Festival. So off a mark of 1-2-8, it could well defy that. I like the mare Brucio. She unfortunately got brought down at the first when she was in the Grade 2 last time at Kelso, but she did actually complete the track, run around two and a half circuits, and she actually won the race loose, just for those that like that kind of stuff. But she was really impressive at Leopardstown the time before, when she won a very competitive mare's handicap, 20-odd runners, heavy ground, went through it like a good horse, had loads in hand at the finish. So that brought down last time out, but might end up being a slight blessing in disguise. So she would do for me, and I'd have to give Densworth a favourable mention as well. Some good pals of mine have got horses with Ben Pauling. They've done really well with the horses with Ben this season, and Densworth was not a surprise winner when he won at Doncaster the other day. And this has been the target since. The other one was Dunst. They own a horse called Dunskay. It was in line to run in the bumper, but apparently his blood wasn't quite right the other day, so they decided not to run him. But yeah, hopefully he'll give the boys a good spin, Densworth. But Brucio would probably be one of the most classiest horses in this field anyway.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Densworth 10-1, Brucio 9-1. That 10-1 is with basically all firms. 9-1 Brucio, Coral, Spreadex, Sporty Index, and Ladbrokes. That brings our day 2 preview to a close. We're going to record day 3 in just a second, so make sure you check out the Odds Checker YouTube channel, where you can find the day 1 preview, although it's a bit late for that, and our day 3 preview, which we're about to do now. Thank you to Andy and to Ed for sharing their insights on day 2. Time to do some Grand National chat, so make sure you join us for that on the other video. In the meantime, do download the Odds Checker app, where you can find the best prices, bookie offers, free bets, place terms, and Andy's selections straight to the app every morning of racing or the night before for major festivals, and please do ensure that you're gambling responsibly.